That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Thursday. Hope having a great Thursday.
Are you having a great Thursday so far?
I mean, it's Thursday, so it could be Monday.
It's true. Thursday is a beautiful day.
It's Friday Eve. It's lovely. I have nary a complaint. If yeah. I had to complain, I guess I could complain about the fact that it's raining. Theo is soaking wet. Dirt everywhere. Chaos everywhere.
The
if I had to.
The only thing I'll complain about is that this is just amazing weekend weather, and I would prefer, because it's like sleep-in weather, mm-hmm. So cozy, chilly weather.
It's so hard to get out of bed on a weekday when it's raining.
It is so hard.
And there's like overcast, and you're like, oh, is it 4 a.m? Is my alarm not?
No. Nope, bitch, you're late. Get up. Yeah. That's your new alarm.
Bitch, you're late. Get up. That'll do it, especially coming from you.
Totally.
You have such a scary voice.
Do I?
Sometimes. Perfect for motherhood.
I feel like, I'm going to have to work on my stern talking to you voice. I worked on it yesterday when I talked to you guys about Austin.
Yeah.
But I feel like my voice is so kid-like.
No, like, but even when you get heated.
Oh, and also, when I listen to old episodes, even a year ago, our voices are constantly changing. What is that? Do other people feel that way? Like, of course, 5 years ago, we sound totally like kids, but even a year ago?
No, it's like it's our tone, it's our dialect, it's our accents, like, it's everything.
It's everything. We're just constantly evolving, changing.
As we should.
As we should. You do love to see it.
You love to see girlies growing up.
You love it. Speaking of speaking, I had such a productive day yesterday, and I recorded a very exciting Patreon episode. I just want to explain it to you guys, because I've been obviously breastfeeding for 3 months, and I've been working with a lactation consultant named Chantal, who's our friend from high school, and she has been
amazing, instrumental
in getting me to where I am. And I had done a breastfeeding episode on Patreon that was just about my personal journey, all my learnings, whatnot. But I brought Chantal on for an episode because she is the expert. And we took so many questions. People asked like such in-depth personal questions.
Well, it was pertinent timing because a lot of people are freaking out with the formula shortage to see if like they have stopped breastfeeding for like a month. Can I get back into it?
Yes. And long story short, you can get back into it. It can be done. It is a lot of work, Chantal mm-hmm. said. But also for a lot of pregnant women right now who maybe like weren't planning on breastfeeding or didn't put much stock into the idea are now like, how am I going to make it work? What can I do to ensure
prepare.
That it will work for me? And so Chantal just had like so many great tips, resources, products, everything. The episode is 1 hour and 17 minutes. It's like
amazing.
Just all about them titties, and it's really, really great. So if you are curious in the least about any of it, head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast.
I agree.
And there's just so much premium content over there anyway. We have part two of a general Q&A
coming
hanging
out.
Over our heads, mm-hmm. and the general Q&As are just frisky.
There's nothing better than Jackson Claude.
General.
Actually, you know what's better than Jackson Claude? Claude and Jax.
Whoa. No, the only thing better than Jackson Claude is Jax, Claude, Bryce, and Thrice.
100%. Or actually, you know what's the only thing better than Jax, Claude, Bryce, and Thrice? Jax, Claude, Bryce, Thrice, Kay, and Harry.
That's too much. My cup runneth over.
100%.
I'm wearing Bryce on my chest today. Like, he's just a fashion icon.
He's in your heart.
He's in my heart. He's always in my heart. I love these pillows so much. Thank you to everyone who gives us this merch.
I love.
That just warms the cockles of our hearts.
We have an amazing show for you guys today because it's Thursday, which means we're just relaxed, you know, like we have this sort of aura about us that some people would say is uplifting, spiritual, and everything of the sort. Some people would say that, some people would not. We also have the Real Housewives
Fools.
Of Beverly Hills. We also have Fools. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap, second episode of the season last night, and I have many thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts too. I am like going to bed earlier now. My whole schedule has really changed as a mama. And because Harry gets his longest stretch of sleep after 8 p.m. So like I got to get down for some of that. So I've been going to sleep around 10. I didn't watch Beverly Hills last night, but I watched it this morning up until the end of Harry Hamlin's birthday. Also, I didn't realize Harry Hamlin, another iconic Harry.
Totally.
And now when Lisa's like, Harry's 70, I'm like, he's 3 months.
Slow down.
But he's a good Harry to be in the mix with.
Yes, he's extremely, you know, dapper, successful.
He's a really great guy, that Harry Hamlin.
Yeah.
It's real, like, I think, what are you going to say?
I don't know. What are you going to say?
Like, no, I won't.
No, me neither, but we're going to say the same thing.
I don't know what you're going to say.
Like, he's like everything of the sort for one tiny little thing.
Rina?
Yeah. Like, they really do seem like a mismatch to me.
I know, but they're so in love,
and they're really like couple goals.
That's what I was going to say, a mismatch. But like, yeah, 30 years, they're ride or die. Like, they have a beautiful family, and they really balance each other out. It's not what I would have
expected. No, not at all. And like, there's no drama there. There's never like rumors. And he's so famous. So, like, around people of that caliber, there's always like mistresses. Like, they're just like real normal people.
Yeah, they're very solid. And he lets Rinna be Rinna. And he doesn't like... You know, she
control her.
No, he doesn't control her. He also like doesn't tell her what to do. Not that she can be told. Mm-hmm. And it's really a beautiful relationship.
No, I agree. It's so weird because like
because Rinna's chaos,
And like she actually, I think of all the shows, maybe like Kyle and Maurizio, but like she's like one of the most stable home lives.
Yeah, for one of the most chaotic housewives.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
get you a queen who could do both.
Agreed.
So we will be recapping The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and then we're just going to be chit-chatting about other things, mostly ourselves. It's going to be a great day here at The Morning Toast.
Yeah, we have some really great stories, a nice mix, and I'm excited to get into it. So without further ado, do you think that it's time?
I do.
No more ado for you. Without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Nailed it. Today's episode is brought to you by Thuma. Your bedroom deserves a refresh, and now is the perfect time to elevate the most important room in your home with Thuma. Well, for two queens who spend 90% of their days in their bedrooms, Thuma has been an absolute godsend. They practice an intentional, less is more design philosophy for the bedroom. That means clean linens, subtle curves, and life-enhancing details. Thuma proves that simplicity is the truest form of sophistication. So the bed by Thuma is handcrafted from eco-friendly, high-quality, upcycled wood, and you'll find beautiful, unique variations in the natural grain, the minimalist design featuring Japanese joinery. It helps elevate any space, and it's a super supportive bed for your mattress. It's breathable and it's made to naturally minimize noise and create space. It's also made for how you live. The bed by Thuma is backed with a lifetime warranty. It ships right to your door in 3 easy to maneuver boxes, and it takes about 5 minutes to assemble, and no tools are required. That is the most important thing. Like, if you've ever been in the trenches with your partner trying to set up something with like 1,000 little screws, like, you know how bad that is for your mental health.
Looking for a Phillips screw head.
Right. So Thuma is good for your mental health is what I'm trying to say. They offer a ton of other bedroom essentials to elevate bedtime. They have the nightstand, the side table, the tray, and they're all perfect complements to the bed. And they work with One Tree Planted to plant one tree for every bed and nightstand sold. So create that feeling of checking into your favorite boutique hotel suite, but at home, with the bed by Thuma. And now go to thuma.co/toast to receive a $25 credit towards your purchase of the bed, plus free shipping in the continental U.S. Go to thuma.co/toast. That's thuma.co/toast for $25 credit.
Great. Thank you, Claudia. Our
first it's a pleasure.
Story is a Claudia special. Taylor Swift spoke at NYU commencement yesterday, and she told the grads to embrace cringe.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I didn't read the whole, I didn't watch the whole speech because honestly, she was making me cringe. Like, and you know, I'm a Taylor stan till I die, but like one of the things that we love about her is like she really is like a choogy, cringy queen. And when I was watching the speech, I was like, oh my God, cringe.
That's so funny. So here are some iconic quotes from her speech, where she received an honorary doctorate of fine arts on Wednesday from NYU and also delivered the commencement speech at Yankee Stadium. Iconic. She said, I'm 90% sure the main reason I'm here is because I have a song called 22. Now, despite not receiving a 4-year college experience, she used her almost 20-minute speech to give the graduates life hacks on navigating postgraduate and early career life, including, quote, life can be heavy and to learn to live alongside the cringe. She said, quote, hard things will happen to us. We will recover. We will learn from it. We will grow more resilient because of it. As long as we are fortunate enough to be breathing, we will breathe in, breathe through, breathe deep, breathe out. And I'm a doctor now, so I know how breathing works.
She was being funny because, like, doctor, you know. She looked amazing. She was so excited to be there. Like, all the footage I saw and, like, the little clips on TikTok and the pictures, like, you never saw someone more excited to be a part of something in your entire life. Like, she was really honored, which was really cute. And, of course, she ended with, so why don't we keep dancing like we're 22, which is, like, cute, obviously. But the other thing I wanted to say.
That is cute. While you think about it. This speech is reminding me, just graduation in general. Gary Jannetty has a short story in his new book.
I have to read it.
You need to read. And this really should have been someone's graduation speech. Like, if I ran a college, I would invite him to graduation to speak and say, just do a reading of this little short story. Because it's about, like, the realities of post-grad life and how fucking miserable, horrible, torturous, yeah, it is and embarrassing and everything else. But then the end, obviously, is, like, some of the highlights.
Right.
And it just really sums up, like, expectation versus reality when you graduate.
Oh, that's funny. That's cute. Maybe someone should do a reading of it.
Someone should do a reading of it.
But what I was going to say was my favorite part of the speech that I actually liked was, like, when she was talking about how, like, don't let other people, like, make you feel embarrassed for, like, being enthusiastic about something. Like, it's okay to be, like, excited and really, like, juiced up about something, even if other people aren't. And that's, like, so Taylor, you know? She's, like, right, so always, like, geeking out over everything. And everyone's, like, calm down.
You need to calm down.
So I loved it. Obviously, like, as an NYU grad, this hurt for sure. Mm-hmm. It felt personal. It felt like an attack. Some of us were forced to sit through Billy Crystal, while others got to be in the presence of Taylor Allison Swift. Like, I just don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. But, you know, that's a great message to tell people at college graduation. Life isn't fair.
Totally.
And that's what I took away from the entire experience.
Yeah, but for these grads, like, they think life will always be this good.
Yeah. And no, they're actually setting them up for failure.
Yeah, you know what's so interesting that I think, just random? So I wanted to talk about Taylor Swift speaking at NYU today, so I, like, searched Taylor Swift news, and, like, every single article from every single publication is the same headline. Taylor Swift tells grads to embrace cringe. Embrace cringe. Like, did she say nothing else? Is that really the most interesting thing that she said, and you guys all really, that was your main takeaway?
No, it's yellow journalism. It's the muckrakers at it again.
No, it's literally so crazy.
No, because it was, like, so much more.
Yeah, but, like, one person, like, harped on that quote. Did anybody else even watch it? Listen, or you're just, right, like, copying it and changing the language?
Totally. She also did get, like, a little choked up when they were introducing her. They were just, like, listing off her accolades, which, of course, are many. And she was getting, like, a little teary-eyed. I was getting a little teary-eyed. It was really a beautiful moment, and she looked super cute.
Yes, she did.
Of course, like, everyone's, like, looking for clues. She did wear leopard shoes.
That's an interesting choice.
Right, like, not an obvious choice. So obviously everyone was like, this means something. And they were really similar to the shoes she wore in the Blank Space music video in that iconic scene when she's like, she's sitting on the floor, on the marble floor, like, with eye makeup running down her face. And she's like screaming, crying, perfect storm. And she's wearing leopard shoes. Okay. So all signs do point to 1989 being next.
Yeah.
But she has, like, a few things she needs.
And it's New York.
And
welcome to New York.
It's New York. Also, This Love from 1989 has already been released because it's in the trailer.
Okay, it's
for
1989, you guys.
And wait, there's more.
Oh my God, okay.
Wildest Dreams has already been released because when it was trending on TikTok, she was like, oh, please use my version. So she just released it. So it's ready.
It's ready.
Yeah. So I'm almost 100% sure it's 1989. And, like, that for me, like, I don't want to talk to, like, I will not be okay. When we get 1989 vault songs, because 1989 is really, like, her Harry Styles era. Like, style, obviously. A lot of the songs are about Harry. So, like, it's just going to be unwell.
A lot of the songs are about Harry.
Another great Harry.
Harry Styles. I've already made that association because also his album's called Harry's House.
Oh, right.
So I need to get merch.
Good luck.
For Harold.
Well, Harold is on the Today Show today. And I've somehow have ended up on, like, the Harry fan TikTok and, like, get me out. Like, I, like, they're not okay.
It's,
like,
probably because your phone hears you being like, I love Harry, where's Harry, I want to see Harry.
Or maybe, like, my phone picked up on the fact that Harry Styles follows me on Instagram, so they thought I would want to see that content on TikTok.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
it.
That's what it was.
And so he's performing at the Today Show today, and, like, his big he's doing, like, a one night only in New York, do you know that? At, yeah, an arena, I think, in Long Island. And it's tonight, and, like, literally people have been camped out, like, putting up tents. It's, like, insane.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be televised.
pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Well, yeah, you need to get your hands on Harry's House merch.
I do. A perfect segue to our next story about music, pretty cool events with a British twist, because Queen Elizabeth's star-studded Platinum Jubilee gig lineup has been revealed.
Ooh, I love a jubilee.
Queen Elizabeth II is set to mark her 70 years on the throne with a huge concert where the biggest stars from around the globe are set to perform. The mega gig, which will be called Platinum Party at the Palace, oh my god, what I would give.
I love an alliteration.
To be there. Will take Same. Place at Buckingham
Palace. Do you
think
Palace. They need a live podcast?
You know the queen is a toaster, right?
100%.
You know that she, like, has her tea crumpets.
No, of course. And she's like, every morning. Those little Jewish girls, they're so delightfully funny. Don't you think so, William?
And she loved our Halloween episode.
Loved.
And she loved Snitch's portrayal of her.
It was an extremely flattering portrayal.
She said, Helen Mirren, Snitch, I don't know.
I don't know. The biopic is getting, you know, more competitive as the days go by.
Olivia Colman, Claire Foy,
no,
Snitch.
Sorry, no. Olivia Colman, she's top. She is queen.
Snitch.
No, it really makes you think. I like how Margot's Miss Darbus costume and Queen Elizabeth costume were like super similar.
I mean, they are two iconic
queens. Yeah.
Okay, here's who's performing at the Platinum Party at the Palace. Maybe Ben can get us invited, because
Ben, we've been talking about this a lot lately. Ben can do anything.
No, Ben is like one of those effervescent, charismatic, charming
people. He's one of those people that you hear about leading a cult, and you're like, how did we get here? When you hear the accounts of people being like, you don't understand, like, the magnetism of this guy, like, you just wanted to be around him, and he was so electric, and his laughter was contagious. That's Ben,
and like, he uses his powers for good, and like, he's really just a really great networker, and he has a really big like circle of friends, and he just like uses it to get invited to like the Platinum Party at the Palace.
Yeah, Ben is always getting invited to cool things,
and he's not doing like anything nefarious with it. Mm-hmm. But like, a different man would use those charms
to start a cult
and be on an episode of American Greed.
Yeah,
but he has that personality where it's like, wait, how did this person get into all those places?
No, totally. I am going to put him on the Jubilee Party next.
Yeah. Like, if anybody can do it, Ben can. So here's who's performing so far. Alicia Keys.
Wow.
Hans Zimmer. Rod Stewart. Duran Duran. Elton John. Also, Adam Lambert will be performing with the remaining members of Queen.
I love how Adam Lambert has become, kind of how, like, John Mayer has become, like, the fill-in for Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Adam Lambert has become the fill-in for Queen. And I just think that's perfect.
No, it's perfect. Like, what a great career. Not something that you would like see for him, but to be like Freddie Mercury's stand-in.
He's extraordinarily talented. He just like never really took off in a mainstream kind of way. I think probably the height of his career was his role on Glee, honestly.
Interesting. I forgot he was on Glee, so I'm going to have to say not.
What do you think is the highlight of his career, American Idol?
Like this. Being the stand-in for Freddie Mercury. And also what's cool is that the Queen's Jubilee, her Golden Jubilee, which was 20 years ago, Queen played at. And now they're playing again. Also with a name like Queen, like, they have to be invited.
Of course. I think that's literally why they named their band Queen.
But there are a lot of iconic British artists who I would have expected to see here.
This sounds very American. Like, what about Adele? Elton John obviously like comes to mind as obvious.
Yes, Harry Styles,
right,
would be good.
Even though, like, I imagine like, the Jubilee has to be like somewhat of like an elevated soiree, and like Harry's very much like a rocker.
Mm-hmm.
So someone like Elton John makes sense. Someone like Little Mix wouldn't make any sense. You know what I mean?
Little Mix always makes sense, but it's because they're on break, I think, that it just doesn't work out.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems very American,
but. Yeah, also it's giving like festival vibes, because there are more performances from other smaller British musicians, so it's like multi-stage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to be like projected on the palace walls, I think. So there are smaller musicians like Ella Eyre, who I love, Craig David, Mabel, Elbow, George Ezra, Mimi Webb. Mimi Webb is one of my favorite artists these days. I can't even tell you.
Not unfamiliar.
Yes, you are. The House on Fire song that Snitch is always dancing to.
Oh, yeah.
But then she also, like, listen to her album, Claude. It's the vibe. Well, and don't come to it in 5 years with Downton Abbey and Yellowstone.
I promise.
Also, Sam Ryder, Jax Jones. You know who needs to be invited to this?
Sam Smith.
Snitch. These are her people.
Yeah, no, but like, honestly, the lineup feels a little weird. Like, where are like the major British? Where's
Elton
Adele?
John.
Adele.
I know. Adele is the glaring,
obvious
yeah. missing person. But between Elton John, Queen, Rod Stewart.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
major,
I guess,
British.
Like, we do want the Queen to enjoy it. And she is 90 years old, so like, she probably is a big Rod Stewart girly.
Also, the evening will feature appearances by David Attenborough, David Beckham.
David Attenborough.
David Attenborough is like the Queen's girly.
He's like the British Morgan Freeman.
Is he an actor?
I don't know, but he's known for his voice.
Because he's a host.
He's a, not a host, he's like a narrator.
Yeah, he's a narrator.
It's his voice on every episode of Planet Earth. Any like nature documentary where you hear like this wise old man like, in the lee of a picturesque ridge. Lies a small, unpretentious winery. Love David Attenborough. Of course, the Beckhams are going to be there.
Yeah, so hopefully Nicola will be there too. Oh, right. Stephen Fry and Julie Andrews. And there will be a special performance from the Royal Ballet. So they are bringing out all the stops, as they should, because it's the Queen's 70th, which is unprecedented.
It's like that scene in Greatest Showman when they all those entertainers are like going to the Queen's house.
Literally, they saw Queen Victoria and Dash.
And Jenny Lynn, who is Adele, is not there.
Literally. Also, in the show Victoria, is that what you're talking about?
No, in The Greatest Showman.
In The Greatest Showman, yes. They go and perform for Queen Victoria. But also in the show Victoria, you know, they talk about Jenny Lynn.
No, I haven't gotten there yet.
That's really fun crossover.
Oh, wait, Jenny Lynn was a real person?
Yeah.
Shook. You know the hill, like, I will die on is that girl was miscast as Jenny Lynn.
I think the movie's perfect. I wouldn't change a thing. No. I wouldn't change a hair on its head.
You know what? I would change the fact that the girl whose voice is actually Jenny Lynn is like out here on America's Got Talent. That's disgraceful.
Yeah, but she's making the royalties. And she gets to live a normal life and go to the supermarket.
No, she doesn't want a normal life because she's on America's Got Talent. Like, she wants... I'm always seeing videos of her on TikTok and it's like, yeah, I'm the girl. Like...
No, but I think she was doing all those videos are from before Greatest Showman.
I don't... No, because... No, she's saying, yeah, I'm the girl from Greatest Showman.
Yeah, okay.
I just don't think it's right, like, the way she was shafted. Lauren Allred.
Yeah, and I don't want to ruin the Platinum Jubilee, but I did just see something that's giving red flags.
What?
The Queen's love for musicals will also be commemorated as special appearances from Andrew James Lloyd Corden. Webber.
James Corden will be there, mark my words.
He will be there, but Lin-Manuel Miranda is going to be there as well as stars from the cast of The Phantom of the Opera, Hamilton, Six, The Lion King, and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
James Corden will be there, mark my words.
1,000%. Front row, center, camcorder.
He's literally British.
Yeah.
And he is in musical theater.
And I think, knowing him, and I think that James Corden has the Ben factor, because it's like, why else is this man literally going to be sitting next to the Queen? Like, I think people just love him.
That's actually a really, really good call, the Ben factor.
The Ben factor could explain a lot.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I definitely, as like consumers of pop culture, we don't understand like the personal ins and outs of like relationships in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. So James Corden is definitely like that guy for sure. He's probably super nice.
Yeah.
Funny, engaging, likes to connect people. You know, he went on vacation with Adele and Harry Styles. Like, he brings people together. He will definitely be there. And it's sad that Lin-Manuel has to ruin a perfectly lovely affair. It's not right. It's disrespectful to the Queen and actually to the monarchy.
A perfectly lovely evening at Buckingham Palace. I hope that it's live streamed somewhere so us lay people can watch. But also, the Queen has been really low key.
Yeah.
And she's been skipping out on some tings.
Wouldn't you after 70 years?
100%. Like, you can't get me out of bed
right.
for less than Duran Duran, Elton right. John, and Queen.
Yeah.
You know? But she's obviously always going to the opening of an envelope. And so I think people are like worried about Queenie.
I know, but people are always worried about Queenie. And I'm not worried about Queenie until there's something to be worried about.
Yeah, no, I just am always thinking of her.
Skipping events when literally your day is back to back to back and you're literally 95 years old. Like, can she take a nap?
No.
No.
They're always wanting more from her.
That doesn't worry me.
We want to hear from you more.
And when I see her, she looks lively. Like, towards the end when we saw Philip, it was like, that looks like a person who's struggling. Mm-hmm. She looks fresh to death.
But we haven't seen her in a while.
Fresh to death.
We haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah, so. But I'm telling you, next time we see her, she's going to be lit.
I hope she's just been taking some time for herself, relaxing, rejuvenating.
Getting a massage.
New season of Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
Only if it's a story that's brought to you by Noom.
It is. Every story is brought to us by Noom. My whole life is brought to you by Noom right now, you guys.
All right, you guys. Sign up for your trial at Noom and get the psychology-based support and motivation to reach your goals. If you go to Noom.com/toast, that's Noom.com/toast, you can sign up for the trial. Noom Weight makes it easy to start on your weight loss journey and stay on track. Their personalized lessons help you gain confidence with practical knowledge that you can employ right away. With one-on-one coaching, you'll always have guidance and support on your journey. Noom Weight's cognitive behavioral approach teaches you how to be more mindful of your habits, and it gives you the knowledge you need to continue building long-term positive habits. I know that you've had a lot of experience with Noom, especially postpartum. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So I've been using Noom for years. What I love about Noom is like when your goals change, your priorities change, Noom changes with you. Right now, I'm in a completely different space than I once was. And Noom is like my friend, my crutch that is there for me, helping me, guiding me through. I feel like right now my biggest struggle, which is not something that I've had in the past, is like not knowing where I'm going wrong mm-hmm. on certain days. And like Noom is like, oh no, here, because I'm tracking everything that I'm doing. And also right now I'm like hungrier than I've ever been. And Noom is like recommending and their calorie counter shows me like how I can get the best meals, the best snacks, packed full of nutrients that are going to keep me full and also help me achieve my goals. So I love Noom. They have an amazing database of so many foods that when you put it all together shows you what you're eating in a day.
Noom Weight uses a psychology-based approach that adapts to your lifestyle. Its flexible approach focuses on progress, not perfection, and it allows you to work towards your goal at a pace that's comfortable for you. So start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at noom.com/toast. That's noom.com/toast.
Great. Okay, our next story. So Jennifer Lopez has a documentary coming out
yes.
called Halftime, and she is breaking down over her Oscars snub. She said, it gave me low self-esteem. Jennifer Lopez put on a brave face after failing to nab a nomination for Best Supporting Actress at the 2020 Oscars. The superstar was secretly devastated by the snub after wowing critics with her role as a scheming stripper in Hustlers. The full extent of her sorrow is revealed for the first time in the Netflix documentary Halftime, which will be released next month. In a trailer for the doc that dropped on Wednesday, the actress is seen sobbing in bed after being overlooked for the honor by the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. She said, it was hard. I just had very low self-esteem. I had to really figure out who I was and believe in that and not believe in anything else. She has long struggled with self-doubt about her career, telling The Post in 2018, everybody was like, she can't sing, she can't mm-hmm. dance, she can't act. She's just a pretty face or her butt is big or whatever they were saying about me. I started thinking, yeah, that's true. And it really hurt me for a long time. Despite the hurt and the pain, I just kept going. I just couldn't allow myself to let that become who I was.
Okay, first of all, when the trailer dropped, like, I gasped because I was just not expecting this. Mm-hmm. The last Halftime Super Bowl Netflix show I saw was Lady Gaga 5'2", which is on my list of top 10 best celebrity documentaries of all time. So I love to see a Super Bowl show from start to finish because it's so much work. But then also seeing a more personal, I feel like I don't really know Jennifer Lopez on a deep level. And you know what? The fact that she knows like all the things people say about her and it like gets her down is so sad. And like, you know what? I thought she was great in Hustlers. And a lot of people forget, like, she was an actress first, Selena. And like she says, like, my whole career have like been struggled. I've struggled with being taken seriously. And it's so true. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't have any Grammys. Like, it's so weird.
It is weird. And I kind of just assume that like she holds this like interesting place in pop culture where she is A-list beyond, but on a serious like critical level, she doesn't get that recognition. And I just would have assumed that she like is so okay with all of that. Like, she's the one laughing all the way to the bank. Like, kind of like Jessica Simpson, where mm-hmm. it's like, I'm never going to be, or you guys don't respect me right now, but that doesn't bother me because I have the things that matter and I yeah. have so much success. I have so many fans. I have a beautiful life and a beautiful family and I have a ton of money and like, you guys can go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
And to hear that like this actually affects her is surprising. And it reminds me of when Taylor Swift and Miss Americana was like so upset that
Reputation
didn't get shine at the Grammys. And like, you just think that these artists are above it. And the way that even I look at award shows, I think a lot of people do, and more so now, is it's
irrelevant.
And it's so much about politics, about like campaigning, about, you know, wheeling and dealing and gifts and bribery and who's friends with who and who knows who, that it's like not the real. It's not real. Like, if you won Best Actress, it doesn't necessarily mean you were the best actress.
I agree. Like, it's not a Nobel Peace Prize. Like,
right. It just means like, you know, everything came together in
at the right time
way. It's not fan voted. It's so I'm always surprised when major artists with so much success who this doesn't make or break your career get so bogged down by these
things. No, you're right. It's weird. But like at the end of the day, like everyone grows up with a dream.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if your dream is to win a Grammy or an Oscar and like you're so close to it and you don't get to it, like the hurt is understandable.
Yeah, no, the hurt
is understandable. And at the end of the day, she's literally Jenny from the block, you know? She's just a girl with a dream.
And I guess when you're in this world, everything seems so big. And to go from being an actress to an Oscar-nominated actress is a big jump, especially for someone like Jennifer Lopez, who, like,
in her
acting career, is always, like, struggling to be taken seriously.
Wait, she didn't get any nominations for Selena?
I guess that's a
That's a bigger shock than Hustlers.
Jennifer Lopez award nomination.
Of you tonight till tomorrow. I'll be holding you tight. And there's nowhere in the world I'd rather be than here in my room dreaming about you and me.
Gorgeous song.
Thank you.
Re-Grammy. She's been nominated twice.
Oh, okay.
For Waiting for Tonight and Let's Get Loud, but she did not win.
Two of, seriously, the most, name two songs that have aged better.
I couldn't. I really couldn't.
I'm trying not to sing too much, but like, whoa. And you know what? Let's Get Loud. Like, when that shit was popping at a bat mitzvah, like, I would lose my fucking mind.
No, Let's Get Loud.
No, and I think.
Let us get loud.
By the way, do you know what we should do? Get Loud.
100%.
Yeah.
And in the category of Oscars, it's not even there.
Disgraceful.
So, disgraceful. She should have been nominated for Selena. And she was really good in Hustlers. I don't know what else was nominated that year, but that was a good movie. And it was, you know, based on a true story, and they love that shit.
And she, like, when you see the work she put in to learning, like, she did all of her own stunts.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's worthy.
Yeah, and her halftime show should have been nominated.
100%. I cannot wait to watch this documentary. I love celebrity documentaries, especially about the Super Bowl. And I really do love J-Lo. And Ben Affleck is in it, which is so crazy.
Wow. See, she
has it all. Like, she has a family.
I just wish I could tell her, like, nobody cares about these things. Like, you have what matters.
Yeah, and you know what? You are more famous and more relevant than you've ever been, and you've been in this business, what is she, 50 now, since you were 20?
Yeah,
maybe younger. But so it's like, to have the height of your career 30 years later, be in the best shape. Like, of course, you never know what's going on in someone's life and like whatever, but like, from the outside, it's like, this shit doesn't matter.
Agreed. And I'm sure maybe 99% of the time that's how she feels, like, I'm good, this is good. But maybe in just that one moment where it's like, oh fuck, I didn't get that one thing, like, you're allowed to have a low moment.
No, for sure. And like, okay, so she was doing Hustlers, filming, training, casting. Like, it was probably, you know, a 2-year process. And obviously the whole time her goal was most likely the Oscar. So it's like, to put so much time and effort, physical effort also, into this project. And then 2 years later, after it all pays off, not getting the thing that I'm sure you really set into this project with the intention of getting. I understand being disappointed.
Yeah, I understand being disappointed for, you know, however long it is, and then
right. Okay.
Remembering who you are.
Right. We're supposed to like respect the Oscars, but literally Leonardo DiCaprio didn't have one. Arguably the greatest actor of our generation didn't have one up until 2 years ago or 3 years ago, four.
Yeah.
Like, make it make sense.
You couldn't.
You couldn't if you tried.
No. And like, Little Mix doesn't have a Grammy, so.
Disgraceful.
What did the Grammys even mean?
No. And
what do they mean?
Gabby neither Gras? Do the Jonas Brothers.
Disgusting.
Disgusting. When you actually look up like the major, major pop stars who don't have Grammys, it's really interesting. Demi Lovato, Jonas Brothers, Selena Gomez, Miley Cyrus.
There's
Miley actually might have gotten one recently since she went more niche.
There's
like
a
rock.
Theme there.
Yeah.
How do I look that up? Major artists who don't have Grammys.
Right. Some of them have, like, I believe Selena has like 2 nominations. But I think when you go more niche, like, I know Selena, I think, is going to do more Latin music. Miley went more rock. I think it's easier to get those smaller categories.
Okay. Popular artists who have surprisingly never won a Grammy. Katy Perry.
Wow.
Nicki Minaj.
No.
That's shocking. Blake Shelton.
It's like not shocking.
Busta Rhymes. Tupac. Both have one.
Tupac?
Tupac, sorry. Both have one nomination but 0 wins.
Right, right. No, we're talking about wins.
Yeah, we're talking about wins. Brian McKnight, no wins.
One.
Snoop
You're
Dogg.
Like a dream come true. 2, just one. That song was not nominated for a Grammy. And 3, girl, it's plain.
He's been nominated
see.
17 times since 1993. And
Brian
he has
McKnight.
Yet to win, yeah.
All right, we have to start a campaign. That you're the only one for me and 4. Repeat steps 1 through 3. That song is so good.
Snoop Dogg has been nominated 16 times and he has never won.
Wow.
Bjork has been nominated 15 times, never won.
If Bjork like came up to me in the street and spit in my mouth, I'd be like, what's your name? I literally don't know her.
Martina McBride, snubbed.
Snubbed.
14 nominations, never
won. Wow.
Dierks Bentley, 14 nominations, never won.
See, with country, there are so many men who literally do the same thing. So, like, Dierks and Blake Shelton, they're just, like, another Luke Bryan, Jason.
That just, like, fell through the cracks.
Right. So, it's not surprising.
Katy Perry nominated 13 times, never won.
That's insane.
Diana Ross has won a Lifetime Achievement Award, but never won.
See, and, like, we're supposed to respect these institutions.
J-Lo, look at this link.
Yeah, you're in great company.
Yeah.
Brian McKnight.
Sia has 9 nominations but hasn't scored a win. This
that's disgusting.
This, and this is from April 2022.
That's fucking insane. That's fucking disgusting. Especially because Sia is she writes songs for other people, including Ed Sheeran, Beyonce. Like, please.
Queen has had 4 nominations but no wins. Have you heard of Bohemian Rhapsody? Have you heard it?
That's insane.
Have you heard it, Grammys?
Have you heard it, Grammys? That's so interesting.
The Beach Boys, 0 Grammys. Sammy Davis Jr. has a Lifetime Achievement Award, but no Grammy.
This should be, like, embarrassed to be giving out Lifetime Achievement Awards to people. It's like, well, you didn't think his lifetime was worth achieving back in the day when he was nominated.
Dean Martin has a Lifetime Achievement Award, but no Grammy.
What? But no Grammy?
Morrissey has 1 Grammy nomination, but no Grammy.
Okay, like, we're down in the list of people I don't care about anymore.
Yeah, no, now we're getting, like, older.
Oh, no,
and
not
older.
Morrissey.
Anyways, send the link to J-Lo, everyone.
Yeah.
She'll be okay.
I'm so excited for this documentary. And Netflix just puts together, like, a premium-ass documentary. Except for Very Hot Take, Shawn Mendes's. It was, like, really bad. I couldn't even finish it.
I didn't watch it. I haven't watched a documentary in a long time.
Because it became really oversaturated where, like, at first it was, like, this great way of telling your art. I mean, I think some of the greatest of all time are, of course, Joan Rivers, Piece of Work, Katy Perry, Part of Me when she was going through her divorce, Gaga, 5'2". But then it was, like, everyone was doing it, and it was, like, you're all not that interesting. Some of you are, but some of you are not.
Agreed.
Like, and she's my queen. I did watch Mary J. Blige's, and, like, she actually, you know what? I take it back. Hers was good. It was, like a little lengthy, but what she achieved. Mary J.'s was good, but, like, not the best one I've ever seen. But, like, not everyone needs a documentary is what I'm saying.
I agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
And why are you looking at me like that?
Because you just, like, keep being done talking.
No, I'm, like, working through my thought process, you know? I'm an artist, Jackie. My God.
Yeah.
I'm a creative. Stop trying to stifle me.
I'm sorry. That's me, the stifler.
Literally. I'm the sweet bird and you're the stifler.
Are you ready for our next story? A little TV news. Mm-hmm. It's big changes at the CW because Riverdale is coming to an end after 7 years.
It is time.
And Dynasty is coming to an end after
five
years. So after revealing on Thursday that season 7 would be the final installment of Riverdale, the CW's chairman and CEO expressed confidence that the series was going out on a high note. The network announced the conclusion of the show along with the rest of its 2022 fall release schedule. So what we are interested in is the end of Riverdale and the end of Dynasty. For me, the end of Dynasty is sadder just because I've been still watching it and I love it.
And it's like a soap opera in the sense that it doesn't really need to end. Obviously the plot lines are insane.
Yeah.
But like it's a type of show that could go on forever because you just expect it's literally like Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
It's a telenovela.
It really is. And I always watch at the end of the season and like I just really enjoy it. Riverdale I stopped watching really because it was too scary. Like
what?
It's so scary, so spooky, and it was always just like giving me the willies.
It's like it is time. Riverdale, like, lost the plot with the Green Goblin monster.
No,
like,
Riverdale, you gave up, but, like, yes, it got
But I will stand by the fact that season 1 of Riverdale is probably some of the greatest television in the last 10 years.
It got to a really scary place, but then, like, by the end of that season, they wrapped it up really nicely, and there was a good explanation for all the spookiness, not just, like, mystery and magic. And they got back on track. They really did. I just, like, couldn't keep watching such a scary show. I don't watch scary things. I don't watch scary movies. I don't watch thrillers. Like, I don't listen to, like, murder mystery. I don't watch true crime. And Riverdale was going down that path, and that's just not my genre.
I'm interested to see, like, what the cast does because, like, they shot to insane levels of stardom when the show, especially the first season, like, was so buzzy. But it's, like, and they're still super famous. Like, they go to the Met Gala, but it's definitely, like, tapered off quite a bit. And I'm sure they're all excited not to be, like, in Vancouver 11 months out of the year and, like, have normal celebrity lives in, like, Hollywood. But I'm curious to see what they all do next. You know, it's interesting to see, like, how they've all been positioning themselves. Like, Madeline Petch has been really smart. Like, she's invested heavy in, like, YouTube. Very, like, Shay Mitchell in Pretty Little Liars. Lily Reinhart is, like, very much, like, in, she's, like, the, oh, my God. She's literally, like, the Troy and Belisario. Like, very much in the activist space, especially as it pertains to body image, which is literally what Troy and Belisario did. Camila Mendes. I don't know what her vibe is. She's like a fashion girly.
Yeah, she's a fashion girly. She's always popping up in some Netflix movies. She's always doing a great job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are my favorite kind of Netflix movies. Like
the bad ones.
Camila Mendes is a supporting actress.
Yeah,
no. I would love to see her star, but 100%. I guess her schedule. Well, she did star in that one with the house.
Spooky house, spooky movie.
It was a little spooky. Does anyone remember?
No.
Hold on. Let me go to her IMDb. It was like, you know, the movie that was all talked about for one weekend. That's yeah. how. That's like those everything the days. These
yes.
days. Nothing is talked about it's for so more hard. Than 3 days. And if you didn't
that's
watch
why it, Queen's Gambit was so monumental, because it literally was like a month.
Yeah, because like it was a slow burn.
Same with like Bridgerton.
Dangerous Lies was the movie.
Got it. Yeah, no, you're totally right about like literally everything having a shelf life of 45 minutes.
Yeah, and it's getting shorter and shorter, like Selling Sunset.
It's getting shorter and shorter, and that's why it's like you really don't have to watch everything anymore.
Just because, give it a few days. Hibernate, yeah, everyone will stop talking about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Literally,
like,
exactly.
Love is Blind, like that other one, Ultimatum.
Uh-huh.
I truckered through that.
Yep.
It's over.
Nobody cares anymore.
The coast is clear.
It's so fucking true.
It's crazy. But all of those people really get so many like followers in that time, and then yeah. You know, it's what you do with it thereafter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just interesting factoid.
No, literally facts left, right, and center.
And for Dynasty, everyone should watch the 5 seasons that are available because, you know, they're beautiful.
I wouldn't be surprised if Dynasty got picked up by Netflix.
Because it's huge on Netflix and it's really big globally.
I don't think anybody tunes in on CW Weekly.
I have it recorded.
But when that shit hits Netflix, especially internationally, all the cast is like crazy millions of fans. Like, I think Netflix would actually be smart to pick it up.
Yeah.
And just keep doing the same shit.
Yeah.
Telenovela. Netflix doesn't have any like soap operas. That's a good idea.
Thanks for the idea.
Free idea.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Don't I look ready?
You actually look so ready. You've never been more ready for anything.
It's the final story. Do 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 do. It's the final story. Can't wait to see Ben on an episode of American Greed. And that's a magic number. Why did you stop singing?
I forgot my role. I forgot my place.
Jesus Christ.
I thought,
get it together.
I do the doo-doo-doo-doos.
Harry gets like one rash on his face and you've lost the plot.
I'm sorry. I have so much going on.
You have so much on your mind. I understand.
No, but I literally forgot what my... point.
I thought you were like, finally, you know what? Let me just give it up. Let the girl sing. She has the better voice of the two of us.
I forgot my purpose. I forgot who I was. I forgot
where I was.
You know, it happens.
I do. It does.
And Juliana, I drink a lot of water.
I just feel like sometimes people listen to the show and have no idea what's going on.
Let me tell you. Let me explain that one. So I
and I never know. Sorry, really quick.
Okay.
I never know whether to like do this show in a manner where like I speak to people who might be tuning in for
to
the first
people
to who might be tuning in for the first time, because we're over here like rise and stress and rise and stress, and like, is that turning people away from being like, what the fuck is going on?
I think perhaps, but I also sometimes I follow people and they have like inside jokes on their Instagram or whatever. I'm like, okay, I don't get this yet, but eventually I will, and eventually they do explain it. So I do think every once in a while we should just like pop up and explain. So Bryson Strassen, those look. Are our dogs.
So real names: Theodore Ashray Soffer,
Bruno Sweets Weinreb,
and we have many names over the years. Right now, Bruno is Bryce and Theo is Trice.
He's also Thrice.
So Bryson Stress.
Bryson Stress.
Bryson Stress. Bryson Stress. Bryson Stress. Bryson Stress. Bryson Stress. Bryson Stress. So that's Bryson Strice, also known as Bryson Streisand.
Oh, yeah. And he's Strice. He's Strice. He's Streisand.
Yeah. So that's that.
That's it. But what Juliana. I was just saying, so I forgot who I was, I forgot where I was, is a quote from Claudia's special, Disgrace Queen. You can get it on Amazon anytime that you're feeling
for
low.
For free. For free.
Oh my God, you're giving that shit away for free?
Oh, bitch, it's been free for years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then because I was quoting her special, I went to a go-to quote of mine, which is, Juliana, I drink a lot of water.
Also, if you hear Jackie say, Claudia, that's beautiful. Also a quote from my iconic comedy special. I gotta go back and watch that.
Also, these days I'm loving, so I'll always say to Harry, I'm like, Harry, your brother has paws. Big paws, hairy paws, curly paws.
Also,
a quote from the special.
I wasn't talking about paws, I was talking about pubes, but you know what I mean.
Big paws, hairy paws, curly paws.
Curly, curly ones. Such a good comedy special.
There are some other ones that I quote from that.
Yeah. You, by the way, like, remember more quotes from that special than I do.
No.
Like, once I started this new tour, I had to literally erase Disgrace Queen from my brain or else I would have gotten confused.
Yeah, no. And once I get the new tour on DVD.
On demand.
Like, it's all I'm going to be saying. Also, there are some quotes from this, your new show, that I would love to use on the show, but I don't want to. There's some of them are punchlines.
Yes.
And I don't want to spoil the punchline.
Thank you.
Like, I'm going to do a mannerism. Let me know if you know what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. And then also,
mask.
Yeah. That joke.
Which one? Yeah.
So yeah. I just, like, because I know she's going to do more shows and I don't want to ruin it for you. But what I can say, when teacher smiles, teacher is happy.
Yeah, don't spoil that either.
When teacher frowns, teacher is sad. That's all I'll say.
So it's also some of my best work. Wow, I'm hilarious.
And that's all that needs to be said.
100%.
So now are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Oh, yeah, we haven't even gotten there yet.
No, and it's some food news that's exciting because McFlurry is adding another flavor to its rotation.
You know, it's time.
It's time because we have Oreo, which is the best and the brightest, and there's no need for another.
Agreed.
But then they added M&M, which then opens up the floodgates.
No, and you know what? Like, when I go to an ice cream place, like, I am going to get M&M. So I'm really an M&M girly, but I have never had an M&M McFlurry just because, like, why would you get anything other than the Oreo?
Here's the thing about an M&M McFlurry. M&Ms and ice cream just don't work in general because they get too hard and they crack your teeth.
I think some people like that about it.
I don't. And like the Oreo just enmeshes itself in the ice cream.
The Oreo
they become one.
It's literally perfect.
It's a symbiotic journey.
Well, before you tell me the flavor, I do think McDonald's should invest more time in having working ice cream machines than introducing a third flavor that none of us are going to be able to try because the ice cream machines are never working.
Okay. No,
it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
I agree. That's another problem. But I'm always here for the introduction of new flavors, items, new concepts. And now we have a new McFlurry, which is the chocolatey pretzel McFlurry, a little sweet and salty combo. I am interested.
No. For me.
Look at this gorgeous girl.
Let me see.
That's gorgeous, it looks good.
But can I say something? Like, this is like an extremely hot take and perhaps the fattest thing I've ever said.
You don't like sweet and salty?
Just don't guess. Let me say it.
Okay.
Pretzels are like too healthy. Like, they're not like a good snack. Like, pretzels just give health, in my opinion. I'm sure, like, on the label, they're not healthy, but, like, they are. They're, like, the healthiest of, like, junk food.
Yeah.
And, like, I want no part of it. Like, I think they're extremely toxic.
I understand the association. Like, definitely you would have, like, pretzel. Like, you would have a carrot. You would have a pretzel.
Yeah. Like, know? I mean, Kendall Jenner was eating pretzels on the last episode
of
Kardashians.
How bad could they be?
Right.
I hear you. I love a pretzel. Yeah, no, it's like if I'm having a bag of pretzels, it's not like I'm being crazy.
Right.
And there's nothing better than pretzels and a Diet Coke.
That I do. And don't get me wrong. There are some moments when, like, I need a pretzel. And just to be extremely clear, I'm not talking about hot pretzels, soft pretzels.
No, that's a big snack.
That is the best snack on the planet. And, you know, for someone who lives in New York, I don't think I've had one in, like, 15 years.
I had one. Remember when I was pregnant and we were in an Uber?
We pulled up on the side.
Pulled up on the side and grabbed one.
But there's literally one on my corner.
No, there's...
I should get one today.
You should, but here's the thing. And I love a hot pretzel. It's one of my favorite.
Quality control.
It's one of my favorite things. So I do treat myself, like, when I see it, if I'm having a touristy moment. They're, like, not great anymore.
No, you have to find a good cart. If you go to, like, Central Park, I do believe they're better. But, like, some of the random ones on the street, they have bad quality control.
No, like,
They're not hot.
I'm always on, like, Fifth Avenue. That's where I got the one that I'm thinking that, like, was. I haven't had a good one
in
years.
No, the one where you were thinking was, like, some turned
street. Yes, no, that one was turned. And I don't fault it for not being good. But I'm thinking, like, right before I went to Pritikin, I got a hot pretzel. And it wasn't that great.
No, we have a new mayor. You know what? We're going to lobby this issue. There needs to be better quality control over the pretzels because honestly, they're an iconic part of New York. And if people start coming to New York and having bad experiences with pretzels, it will affect tourism, which affects the overall GDP. And I think it's important that we have this discussion.
Yeah. And everybody benefits when the pretzels are better. You're making them anyway. Might as well make them better.
No. And you know what? If they're tasting really delicious, charge me more.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You pay a premium.
I'll pay a premium for a delicious pretzel. Not one that literally fell off the card. Like
literally.
Literally.
Anyways, pretzel McFlurry, chocolate pretzel McFlurry. And I think it sounds delicious. It will hit menus on May 25th for a limited time. So I think this is something, it's like, if this is the change that we want to see, we're going to have to show up.
No, we have to mukbang.
We'll have to mobilize. We have to put our money where our mouth is. And we need to be buying this if we want them to do new flavor initiatives. We just do.
No, we do. And I want to support. But, like, I just can't imagine. It's 4 a.m. and I grab my phone. And instead of ordering an Oreo McFlurry, I order a pretzel McFlurry. Like, no, that's just never going to happen.
It's not a floor in the... You don't try new things at 4 a.m.
It's almost... No, but I mean, anytime I go to McDonald's, like, I'm never going to choose anything other than the Oreo McFlurry. It's literally the perfect recipe. And that's kind of like the Achilles heel of McDonald's. Like, they really can never introduce more flavors because no matter how good it is, and I'm sure it's delicious, nobody is ever going to choose that over an Oreo unless you're allergic to Oreos. But if you're allergic to Oreos, you're probably allergic to ice cream too.
Yeah, that's a good point. What flavor could they introduce? You know what sounds good? Like a peanut butter, Reese's.
Yes, but the thing is, at least for me, like when I go into an ice cream shop, I know I just said like I will get M&Ms and I would, but that's only if they don't have cookies and cream first. Like one thing about me is like cookies and cream is my flavor of choice. Whether I'm in the grocery store, whether I'm at an ice cream parlor. So I'm never not going to choose. Like if I could choose and if I could have McDonald's make me any flavor, it would be cookies and cream.
Yeah, cookies and cream is my go-to also. The only time I don't get it is if they don't have it, like at 40 Carats, they don't do cookies and cream. So I get vanilla with like Reese's peanut butter and I love a Heath bar.
But you know what? I will say last month I did a Patreon vlog of my trip in Vegas.
But what? I just want to caveat. I don't eat the Heath bar on the ice cream because again, too hard.
Yes.
I just like to get it on the side so I can eat a Heath bar.
So I ordered a McDonald's in the middle of the night and I got a McFlurry, and when the Uber driver pulled up, he was like, they didn't have, the ice cream machine was broken, obviously. He was like, but I got you a pie. And I was like, okay, sure. Like, I was desperate. And I had this raspberry pie that was so, I vlogged it. It is the funniest thing. Patreon.com/morningchest.
Oh, yeah.
It was the best motherfucking pie I've ever had in my life. Like, I need to have a sober run. It was so good. Maybe it was strawberry, something berry. So good. And I had never had a pie from McDonald's before.
Do you think it was so good because, like, you were drunk and
no, it's definitely, desperate? It's definitely possible. But you know me. I'm not, like...
You're not someone who says something's good when it's not.
Like, right. Even drunk or not.
You can't even trick yourself into thinking something's
good. So I think it was really good. I'll have to, and it was, like, hot. It was, like, a good McDonald's, you know?
Yeah.
Let's quickly talk about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, episode 2, Harry Hamlin's birthday. Something I did not see for this year was like Rinna and Erica like choosing violence and choosing to be like villains because no, that's what they are.
Because I think this is what it is. And I kind of understand this, even though like I'm not on their team, but like they go about the show like in earnest. I think Rinna's been on her best behavior for a few years and like still the fans don't like them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know what? They're not going to like us anyway. Let's at least say what we're thinking and be who we are and fuck shit up and be interesting and have a laugh about it. Because like Erica has gone off the rails.
Yeah, she is no filter.
None.
So I thought the conversation about the Elton John party was really interesting because Lisa really should have just dropped it. Like really, really should have just dropped it. And just accepted the apology when Sutton apologized. But then she had to dig deeper. And of course, Sutton bought the receipts. In no world do I think that she canceled. And that's why I was like, Diana, like, shut up. Like, I want to see the receipt. Like, know, are you like new here?
Okay, sure, it's tacky, whatever. But like, also, since when, Diana just came in, since when do we all have to listen to her that she, just because Diana thinks it's tacky, even though like, yeah, if Diana thought it tacky, you know I'd be like, okay, yeah,
goodbye. It's not that tacky. You know what was tacky? That party in the middle of the cafeteria. Like, literally, it was not even like an elegant soiree. There was nobody else around. It was just the women. Actually, I would beg to differ. It's not tacky at all.
No, it's the time and place. And also it's like if Rinna is going to throw this allegation out, then Sutton needs to be able to defend herself.
It's only
herself.
Fair.
Just like Sutton threw the allegation out that Rinna didn't thank her and Rinna has to defend herself. Unfortunately, this is something that now needs a little bit more back and forth.
Yeah.
And receipts would be helpful. So Diana, please like pipe down because
yeah, shut up.
We just need to get to the bottom of this so we can move on because it's actually not that interesting
no.
to me. And I don't want it to linger. So if receipts can be shown and proven, we can put this thing to bed. That would be great.
Yes, I was actually really happy that Garcelle like insisted Sutton show the receipt because
right.
Sutton was like, Sutton's like not, she can't really go tit for tat with people. Like she's not as combative as others.
No, and like she like goes 4 steps in, 3 out. Like
yeah.
She's almost there, but then kind of shies away because she's not interested in beefing.
So Garcelle had her back, which I really liked. And honestly, I think that whole scenario made Lisa look terrible. And then it was like, oh, Sutton just couldn't catch a break. Sutton versus Erica. Erica's just like, she is the villain. Like,
yeah.
It's so crazy that the journey she's went on in the last 2 years because I never thought there was a time where like I wouldn't literally agree with every breath that she breathed.
You?
And now it's like, she's so nasty.
Yeah.
Like, really mean.
Really mean, and she doesn't care anymore. And it's weird and uncomfortable to watch. I imagine it's weird to be around, like, just two people telling each other to
shut the fuck up.
Fuck off.
Yeah.
And in different franchises are different, and I feel like in New York they speak to each other that way all the time. But like when they were sitting there, and I think it was Kyle who was like, you guys don't talk like that. It's like they try to stay above certain things, but Erica's just going there.
No, and her tagline is really true. Like, there's nothing more dangerous than someone who has nothing to lose. And that's literally Erica. Like, it's over.
Yeah.
So she's crawling her way out and she's taking everyone down with her.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought was interesting was Diana. So I didn't really feel like they did an amazing job of telling us, like, who she really was. Like, what's her backstory? And I did think I forget the country that she was from, because honestly,
Sarajevo.
I never heard of it before.
Oh.
Sarajevo, she moved to London as like a refugee, had literally like not a pot to piss in for 10 years. She was like, it was the most excruciating time of my life, cleaning toilets, like anything just to get by. And then she met this man, and I actually went online to research her because I really wanted to know more about like who he was and like what their vibe was. So he's not just some ordinary like banker. He's the president of Barclays, like the biggest bank in the world. And he's worth $500 million. They did not have a prenup. And I read this article in 2011 that they like weren't together, but they didn't get officially divorced, obviously, because it's like complicated financially. And they like, he's like, she can have anything she wants. But he also wrote in the article and was like, if she wants to get divorced, like, I will happily fork over $250 million. It's hers. I couldn't have achieved what I achieved without her. It was like really sweet. And I do believe they are now officially divorced, because that article was from 11 years ago.
And she's engaged.
Right, which you can be engaged and still be married to someone else. So
it's a little weird.
Yeah, for sure. So I thought her backstory was fascinating. And I read an article that said she's now the housewife with the highest net worth.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I know. And you could see it. Like, her home was like this sick house, and she was like listing all of her homes. And they showed her house in Hidden Hills, which is not the house she was in filming. That one was, I think, somewhere else. And she has London. She's like, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you. She's like five or six houses, and they're like sick.
Yeah, and she says she like rotates, like, I think she sells houses and gets houses in new places. She is that girl. I feel like it's rare that someone comes into as a new housewife and doesn't have to like work their way up through the group. Like, everybody just automatically respects her.
Because Crystal knew her already, Lisa knew her, and people have probably heard of her.
Right. Like, Erica said she had heard of her. So it's not like she has to like win over all the girls, but sometimes it's an interesting place to come in also, because like you don't know how things work around here.
It's also
interesting. But I'm like very here for her. It's also very interesting that she just had a baby. So
yes,
I'm like
at 46.
And she was like coming in talking about how she's having a hard time losing the weight. And I'm like, okay, you are my girl.
No, she's, first of all, I did not know that man walking in next to her was her fiance. I just thought he was like her friend. I was like shook.
Yeah.
What I think is most interesting also is, especially in Beverly Hills, she's similar to Sutton in the sense, like, it's all her own money, which is cool. I mean, it's money, like, she's not married to, she was married to the money, but now it's hers.
Yeah.
So it's like, she can do whatever the fuck she wants.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah. I like her a lot.
Me too. I think she was a good cast, even though I don't think they needed someone new. And it does feel like a lot of women, I feel like some people are going to get left behind. Even last season, I felt like Dorit was getting, like, majorly left out of the plot. I do think that's going to mean, like, some people become irrelevant. Like,
Things change,
yeah. But Diana's is super interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to finish the episode.
It's just weird because, like, I'm really finding myself, like, on the side of Garcelle, Sutton, and Crystal.
Yeah.
Because they're just, like, extremely rational people. And that's tough because, like, watching the show for so long, like, you feel so invested in, like, Kyle and Dorit. But, like, and Kyle's doing her best to, like, straddle.
Kyle and Dorit are kind of neutral right now. I think a lot of people are gravitating towards Garcelle, Sutton, and Crystal. Sutton, I'm like 50-50 on. Half the time I'm like yes, she's half the time I'm like no.
Too unpredictable.
Yeah, and she's like being so weird in her confessionals, like just giving weird energy.
She's chaotic.
And the shit with Dorit
is,
was
she's wrong.
Weird.
She's
and
wrong.
Why did, I wish they let her finish speaking in the car when she was like trying to explain that she went over to Kyle's and I'm an empath, and they didn't finish what she was saying.
Yeah.
What was she gonna say?
I don't know.
Maybe she could say, like, it took me a few days to, like, really get into
that's
the headspace.
That's what I thought she was getting at.
And I regret, like, I don't know.
Yeah. So it will make for an interesting season, because I think that Sutton, Garcelle, and Crystal, like, definitely feel this, like, resentment towards the fact that this group really hasn't been that open.
Yeah, but also they're wanting to distance themselves from Erica. What was that LA Times article that they did, like, being like, we could be a comp, like, we could be...
I thought the LA Times article they were referring to was like the OG one from last season.
Erica said that LA Times article really bothered me, and they put up a picture of an LA Times article called, you know, we could be accomplice or indicted or whatever, or something.
Maybe they spoke to the LA Times.
And it's a picture of the three of them. And it's like they sat down for an interview and like had a photo shoot. And I think that's
LA
a little
Times
weird.
Sutton Strack.
You know?
I wish they dived into that more. Oh, yeah. On October 2021, Real Housewives of... we could be implicated. Has implicated, scandal consumed the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
And they're sitting at the bar, photos.
Yep, it's Sutton, Garcelle, and Crystal. It's at Sutton Strack's Bel Air home. And they did.
How that's not a bigger storyline is surprising. And if I were Erica, that would bother me the most. And you know what? That's a little messed up because it's like last season, you know, Crystal didn't want to hold Erica accountable.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's where you're supposed to do it. On the show, ask the questions, you know.
Have
the victims in mind, but you don't need to go and talk to the press.
In their minds, I think they were doing an episode. I think they thought they were doing an interview about being the three new girls. Listen to these first couple questions.
Okay.
What has surprised you most about being on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Knowing what you get with this franchise, what interested you in joining in the first place? And then they each answer.
Yeah.
Did Denise Richards or Lisa warn you about what to expect? Okay. The way race has been dealt with, that's talking to Crystal and Garcelle.
And then they probably asked one question about Erica and made it the headline.
Yeah, wait. Some fans were frustrated that you had to show your pain for the women, show empathy towards you. Literally, when do they get to Erica? Oh, they're talking about the moment where Crystal challenged Sutton on not seeing color. It literally has nothing to do with Erica. Talking about Sutton versus Crystal. More serious. Okay, so 10 questions later. Things took a turn this season once we reached election day and Erica's divorce filing set off a series of questions. It's one thing to watch it as a viewer and know a little bit about what to expect, but living in it must have been a whirlwind. So it's not like they sat down to talk about Erica, but obviously that is a clickbait.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, no wonder why.
No, and then it was one question. Now it's like talking about the dynamics of marriage and wealth. That's literally
it. And they made that the headline. And it looks like they did a sit-down interview about Erica.
And, you know, and by the way, they probably, once that came out, should have spoken to Erica. But Erica was so nasty to them. Why would they give her any courtesy?
Yeah.
So it's not like they sat down, but that is what the article makes it seem like. But I don't think that they did.
Got it. Thank you for going through that. Because, you know, another muckraking moment.
Another muckraking moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our show.
That's our show. And I'm so grateful for it.
Oh my God, that's so sweet. I'm grateful for you.
I'm grateful for you. And I'm grateful for Brass and Thrass and
Brass. Oh, and I'm grateful for everyone who we got like over 1,000 YouTube subscribers yesterday. Let's keep the energy up, you guys. We want our plaques, okay? YouTube.com/morningtoast. Please subscribe. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have an amazing day. Thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast, Millennium Morning Show. We deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available to the podcast anywhere. Podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Digital Public Radio, iHeartRadio, Castbox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us. Morning Toast, leave a five-star review, better, beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Hope you guys have an incredible day, okay? And we'll see you guys tomorrow for Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Bye, y'all.
Bye.